Here we are, the Sunday of Joy, the one that is different as far as the Advent calendar or Advent wreath goes. I'm even wearing a different colored because of it. I usually just share it, save it for Pentecost, but I thought, you know, if we have a pink candle. If I would have had a pink one of these, I would have worn it, but I don't, I'm afraid. And in his Sunday of Joy, the question that came to me is joy simple? And there's a bit of a play on words in there if we look for it long enough. But the bigger thing is that, is it easy? Can anybody be joyful? And I think, first of all, we might need to clear out a little bit of underbrush as to exactly what joy is. Joy and happiness are often conflated, but they're not really the same thing. Happiness is a response to a situation almost all the time. We are happy because we got a present. We are happy because our kids came back for Christmas. We're happy for the fact that it's not lethally cold outside. That made me very happy. Joy, on the other hand, is something that doesn't necessarily have that basis in something happening at the moment. People talk about the joyful event of a new baby. And it is joyful. Trust me, for us, we lost our first baby. We had trouble having babies at all. It was a joyful experience. Was Hadley happy? Well, I'm not sure I'd use happy, exhausted, in significant discomfort at the very least, but joyful at the same time. They don't have to be connected to each other. Joy and happiness often go together, but you can have one without the other. If you're in the middle of a significant depressive episode, which some of us suffer from, you can be happy, but there's still this underlying darkness that just simply doesn't go away. And the flip side of that is that you can be unhappy and joyful at the same time, which seems counterintuitive, but what I go to when I think of that is our Matthew lesson, where John the Baptist is in jail, knowing things are probably not going to work out well for him because Herod being Herod. And so he sends some of his followers to go to Jesus and says, "Are you the Messiah?" And once again, we would like Jesus to say, "Yes, I am the Messiah," and be done with it. But instead, he comes back with, "Go back and report to John that you see the blind receiving sight, the lame walking, the deaf hear, the dead raised, good news preached to the poor." Goes on. We want Jesus to say, "Yes, I am the Messiah." The problem is, in these words, Jesus is saying, "Yes, I am the Messiah." We just don't have the language for it. We want things that are nice and short and pithy. This is the mark of the Messiah. Jesus is being as plain as plain can be to John's followers, and then goes back to John. And so when they go back to John, I suspect John was joyful to know that the Messiah had come in his time. I'm not sure he was happy at the same time. I'm not good at being locked up, so I attempted prison ministry, prison visitation once. Yeah, I didn't think I'd be good at it, but, you know, you have to try. I didn't think I'd like Brussels sprouts, and as it turns out, I do. Yeah, until you try them, you just don't know. I don't like being locked up. I haven't done it since. It's very difficult for me. I don't see how you could be happy in there. I'm sure people can. But in John's position, knowing full well that he is in deep trouble with Herod, I don't think he was happy. But I think he still had joy. And joy is what comes when we have a deep understanding that there's more to life than just the things that we see, touch, taste, smell, and hear. Great music makes me happy. Sometimes it makes me joyful too. But it's a different feeling. Because joy comes from fundamental realities rather than transient experiences. I am joyful as John the Baptist was joyful because I know the fundamental reality of what it means to have God come and be with us. That news doesn't always make me happy. Sometimes being happy is the wrong thing to be anyway. I got a call on Friday from a friend of mine. We worked together at the software development company for a number of years, and we've known each other before and after. I actually performed their wedding before we worked together. Joel and Heather were both students of mine, and we developed a close bond. We went to the same church. I did their wedding. Eventually, I worked at the same place as Heather. Heather called me out of the blue. I was in Safeway, and said a co-worker of ours was in the intensive care unit. And she couldn't think of anybody else who had that combination of some kind of spirituality and experience working at the software development company. Software development companies do not pull people like me into them very often. It's just one of those things. And Heather asked if I would go and see her, asked her if I would go and do whatever I could. And so I went on Saturday morning and sat with Karma for a bit and with her partner of more than 30 years, Guy. We prayed and cried a bit, and I hugged him as we left. And at 5:22 yesterday afternoon, she died. Early 50s, a brain bleed. Not because of an injury, it just happened. Yesterday, I was not happy. Yesterday was a very bad day for me. She has children and grandchildren. Her grandchildren have special needs. Her daughter had lived with her, with these grandchildren. She had been part of that, and all of this is now gone. It's because she's gone. And so I can't stand here and say I'm happy about that. I wasn't happy yesterday. I'm not happy today. I'm not going to be happy for quite a while, I think, whenever I think of that. Last time I was in the surgical intensive care unit was to say goodbye to my closest friend a number of years ago. Just going back in there was not very good. So do I just give up? Well, no. Because, believe it or not, there is still joy. How? Well, it doesn't work if joy and happiness are the same. Joy does not work if joy comes because things are good in your life. The things that bring me joy, to take it out of the ethereal, if you will, the ultra-religious, the things that bring me joy are that my children like me. Does that... Your children... You can sort of ask if your children love you. I mean, you hope. But do they like you? Well, my kids like me. They talk to me. We have a good time together. That brings me joy, even when we disagree about things. And in the midst of saying goodbye to someone taken before what we would say is her time, I can still be joyful that I drove here with one of my children. I was tempted to just call yesterday and say, I'm not going to be here. But I thought, no, we need the Zoom service. And I thought, okay, that's almost enough. And then my son said, but I haven't seen my sister for a week. I said, okay, we're going. And I'm glad. I'm glad I'm here. This is what I do. This brings life to me. If I would have stayed at home, I wouldn't be better off. I'm better off for being here. Painful as it is to reflect on loss and things, because you bring me joy. Because being in this community of faith, in these three dimensions and in the two dimensions of Zoom, the people that will be hearing this later from various places in the world who are part of this community of faith bring me joy. happiness also. I wasn't happy that we shrank out of our building and into here. I'm glad we're here. I like this space, but the transition, I wasn't happy there. But joy was still there because I was bringing all of this here. Because the space isn't what brings joy. The space can bring happiness, familiarity, comfort, lots of good things. But when I pray for you every day, as I do, one of the benefits of a smallish congregation, I don't need a list, I don't need a prayer, I don't need a church directory and take, you know, 3 pages a day or something. When I pray for you every day, it brings me joy. Because I know parts about you. I know parts of your life, and you know parts of mine. And even when I'm not happy, even when I'm angry, and sometimes I am, not as much as I used to be, don't lose control of my anger anymore, I'm happy to say, but I still get angry. Because yesterday I was sad and angry at the same time. And I was angry at God. I wasn't angry at karma. She'd done nothing. She'd cared for herself. She was in, you know, acceptable shape for a woman of her age. She, you know, she did the things she was supposed to do. And yet there we were, hooked up to a battery of machines that I look at and all I see is bad news. And I was angry with God. I still am. And God said, that's okay, you can be as angry with me as you like, because I will still be here. Am I joyful? Hard to believe, but yes, I am. I'm joyful because of the legacy that karma leaves behind. I'm joyful for the life experiences we shared. We went on company trips to Mexico, and she was a lovely co-worker. 100 times more extroverted than I will ever be, vivacious and fun to be around, all of those things. Those bring me joy and happiness both. In the midst of loss, I find joy because I have known people well enough to grieve their passing. You don't grieve things you didn't love. You don't grieve people you don't care about. And one of the things that brings me joy is that over the course of a number of years, the Holy Spirit worked on my heart so I was willing to care for people and let them in. But when you let them in and they leave, it's hard. But I'm joyful that I have become the kind of person that lets people in, even though I know it doesn't end well often. So on this Sunday of joy, joy is not easy, but it is simple. Because the foundation of joy is the realization that God loves you. That God, the infinite God, has all of God's infinite attention on you at all times. And on me, and on everybody else. That's what infinite means. There is no limit to God. We don't lose, God doesn't lose touch with us. He doesn't misplace us in his memory. I have joy because of people in my life, to be sure. But for me, the bedrock of joy is that the infinite God, who came to earth, was born as a baby with all that goes into that, loves me. That's where joy comes from. That part is simple, because that's all there is to it. What's not easy is remembering that, because sometimes I forget. And if you forget, as I sometimes do, as I kind of forgot yesterday, I'm here to remind you that the bedrock of your being is a God who loves you always, who loved you before the beginning of time, and will love you when time itself is at an end. Amen.